We're getting back into the Spiritual Warfare series today. This is part 6, I believe, but it's been like 3 weeks since we last talked about this. So I want to go real quick, do a real quick overview of everything that we've talked about up to this point. And basically, my main focus, my main goal in this is to get us to the point where we, not to glorify the enemy, not to make anybody afraid, where they're like, oh man, there's demons everywhere, or Satan's so powerful. I want you to see how powerful he is. I want you to see what he's doing, but to see that you have victory over that. So that I want you to know his strategies so that you can fight it. Not to scare you, not to make you worried about what he's doing, but so you're aware. There's so many people in our world today in the church that are just completely unaware of what the enemy is doing. And they just let the devil continue to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy, and hurt their lives, ruin their relationships, ruin their families. And they blame God, or they blame themselves, or they blame Trump or whatever. But the reality is, it's the devil. It's the enemy doing these things in their lives. And so we need to see what he's doing and be aware of it and see the power and victory we have. And then we fight and overcome. So, all right, we started off talking about 7 simple things that you need to know. Let me go through those real quick. Number one, we're in a war. There is a spiritual war around us, and we need to be aware of that. Number two, we can't get out of it. The only escape is death. It doesn't matter, even if you say, well, devil, I don't want to fight anymore. Fine, I'll just do whatever you say. Fine, I'll worship you. Fine, I'll serve myself. I'll live for myself. I'm just tired of going to church. I'm tired of fighting this fight. I'm tired of this fight. I want to be out. Well, okay. He'll say, thank you, come on over. But he doesn't stop harassing you. It just means you've surrendered. You haven't gotten out of the war. You've just surrendered to him and allowed him to have even more access to your life. The only way out is death. Number three, it's a spiritual war. It's not some war where we've been watching with the kids a lot of Star Wars lately. This is our quarantine recipe. We watch Star Wars. It's so... So, you know, it's not that we get these lightsabers and we got to go fight Darth Vader and all that. No, it's a spiritual war, and we have to fight it with spiritual weapons. Number four, our enemy is Satan and his demons. The enemy is not the liberals. The enemy is not homosexuals. The enemy is not terrorists or Muslims or any person. The enemy is Satan and his demons that are under him. Number five, Satan wants to destroy us. He's not your friend. He's not here to help you. He doesn't love you. He's not here to bless you and take care of you. He wants to destroy you. Six, we need to get serious about fighting. I think so many people, well, number one, we ignore that there's a spiritual war. We pretend it doesn't exist, that life is just what it is. We go to work, we go to school, we take care of our family and go to church and give God our time. And we kind of are oblivious to the spiritual war around us. But then there's another level where people go, yeah, I get it, there's a war out there, but I don't know how to fight, and what's the big deal? And we can't be like that. We can't afford to ignore what the enemy is doing or not fight. We got to get serious about it, because if we get serious, we win. If we're not serious, we lose. Number seven, trust that Jesus already won the war, so victory is ours. Jesus demonstrated this clearly in his life. Well, going back to Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. They allowed sin into the world, and the enemy was given rights on the earth, authority on the earth. But God promised at that point, he said that he would send a deliverer who would crush the serpent's head. And that's Jesus. Jesus crushed the serpent's head. When he was on the earth, he everywhere he went, he worked against the devil. He worked against the enemy's kingdom. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's preaching the gospel. Everywhere he's going, he's showing that he has power over the enemy. People that are full of demons that couldn't get deliverance from anyone or anywhere else, they come before Jesus and they have to surrender, have to bow before Jesus. And with a word, Jesus casts the demons out and they're transformed. In his life, he demonstrated that he had authority over the enemy. And then in his death, dying on the cross and rising again victorious, Colossians says that he disarmed the enemy. The devil doesn't have the power he used to have. And as if we're in Jesus and Jesus is in us, we receive the victory that he won for us. So we trust in Jesus. Yeah, we're in a spiritual war. Yeah, it's intense, but we trust in Jesus and the victory that he won, and we're going to be victorious. And one day, the Bible promises that one day Jesus will return, and he will completely obliterate the enemy in every way whatsoever, that he'll throw hell, and he'll throw the demons, and he'll throw Satan himself into the lake of fire. That there will be, that's the finish, that's the end, so we know how it finishes up. So we're going to be victorious, and we can trust in that. All right. Number four, or no, not number four. I talked about four things that we need to ask before going to war. The first question was, where's the battle? In the spiritual war, the battle is mostly in our minds. And now that doesn't mean, like, you know, you hear all the time, oh, that's just in your head, don't worry about it. Well, no, the battle is in our minds, but that doesn't mean just ignore it. But the primary place that we fight will be our thoughts, our minds. But what goes on in our minds, that affects not just our thoughts, it affects the way we talk, affects the things we do, and the things we do and the way we talk, that affects people around us. And so it affects our relationships, it affects our families, our communities, everything. So the primary war is in our minds, but that affects everything. And you could see that now, you know, with the COVID-19 panic right now. People are insane. And but the war starts in their minds, where they watch these newscasters and news reports, and they see images online, and some of them are real, some of them are fake, and they see headlines that sound terrifying, and so the thought comes in their mind, oh crap, it's the end of the world, we're gonna die. But because of that thought, then that thought leads them to panic, and they respond different, and then it causes our government to panic and respond different. But it started with lies, thoughts in their minds. So our thoughts, don't just dismiss it. The primary battle is in our minds, but that doesn't mean, oh, that's just in your head, ignore it. No, it means start with your mind, start with your thought, focus on there. If you win there, you're going to win down the road. But that's the main battle. Number two, who is our enemy? It's Satan and his kingdom. So Satan talked about originally that it looks like he was probably set up as a guardian over people. That God did not create Satan to be evil. He created Satan as Lucifer, a guardian to protect people, probably. But that Satan rebelled against God out of pride. And then now because of that, he and his demons are in this constant battle against God and the people of God. The third question to ask is, what do our enemy's forces look like? You don't want to go into battle if you don't know what your enemy has, what you're up against, how many tanks or fighter jets or soldiers he has. You need to know what the forces look like. And so we talked about that, that the enemy is organized. He's very smart. He's very organized. He's very strong. Jesus is more powerful, more organized, and he's victorious. But we got to understand that the enemy is organized, and there's levels of demons and levels of powers and authorities that he has and that he's using to try to counteract what God is doing in the world today. The fourth question, last question to ask is, what are our chances of success? 100%. I already talked about that. That we know Jesus wins. We know he defeated the enemy already, and we know that he disarmed the enemy, and we know that when he returns, he's going to completely obliterate every part of the enemy, every hint of the enemy. And so we're going to win this battle. And so we don't have to worry. We do have to get serious about it, but we can understand that victory is ours. Amen? Amen. All right. Then I went into some of the names of Satan, just you could kind of see the character of a person by looking at their name. And especially with Satan, we can see his character by looking at some of his names. Really quick. Satan means an adversary, an opponent. The enemy means someone who's openly hostile or animated by deep-seated hatred. The adversary, the accuser, literally means someone who is against the assembly. Satan is against the assembly of the saints. He lives to accuse us, to tear us apart. The devil means the slanderous one, the falsely accusing one. In secular Greek, the word was translated as backbiter, someone that would gossip and talk about you behind your back. He's called the thief. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to bring abundant life. And so that's what the enemy does. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill anything in you and anything from God in you, and he wants to destroy the things that God has put in you. And then last one we talked about last time was the father of lies. And again, this sounds kind of like, oh, it's just the father. So one of Satan's primary tactics is to lie to us. And you can easily hear that and dismiss it and go, oh, well, you know, all he can do is lie. But lying is powerful. And you can see that in the world today. Even things where I made the mistake of tuning into MSNBC the other day. And it's like, oh my gosh. I don't watch typical mainstream media. When I want to find stuff out, I'll look at more of the conservative media online, or I just try to look at the sources themselves. But so I don't watch mainstream media, but then I turn on MSNBC and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like the end of the world. They're talking about the statistics of numbers and all that, but it's none of it's true. It's all, well, it's either taking a true thing and manipulating it to look bad, or there's a thing that's half good, half bad, and all they talk about is the bad part, or they're just completely saying things that have been disproven by other people. They're not providing truth, they're providing lies. But you could see because of those lies, a lot of the media is doing it, whether it's social media or mainstream media or wherever. But there's these lies being talked about right now and blasted out there right now about COVID-19 and the pandemic. And so you could see, though, how these lies got into people's minds and just festered there to the point where there's panic and hysteria in our nation and other nations as well. To the point where then our government starts making really ridiculous decisions and doing things that I think are an overreaction and are very dangerous and, I would say, against the Constitution. But it all started with lies that were put in people's minds. And now, thankfully, some of the more of the media and more doctors and scientists are coming around and realizing that, oh, looks like we made some mistakes. You know, a lot of these lies were based on studies that were done on COVID-19 before they had real numbers. And so they're taking inaccurate numbers and they're saying, well, if these numbers are right, it's going to lead to 2 million deaths. Well, those numbers weren't right. And so it's not going to lead to 2 million deaths. And thankfully now some of these guys are waking up to the fact that they've made a huge mistake. But our economy is suffering as a result. People are suffering. But it all starts with lies. And so we don't want to discount the fact, the power of lies. And the enemy knows that. He knows how powerful it is to lie to us. If he can get a lie in there, that can change everything in your life, and that can affect people around you as well. All right, that was the fastest review of 6 weeks that I've ever done. Yeah, 5 weeks. So now we're at part six. Want to talk about some more names of Satan? Hopefully I'll make it through two today. I don't have a clock. Well, there's a clock behind me. So, but I want to make it through two today, Lucifer and the Tempter. So let's talk about Lucifer. Isaiah 14:12. This is about when Lucifer, Satan, rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star." Or the King James Version there says, Lucifer. "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low." So that word, well, in the English, day star or Lucifer, that's the Hebrew word Hillel. It literally means a shining one or a light bearer. Lucifer is the Latin name for the planet Venus, also known as the morning star or star of the dawn, day star. And so that's why the name Lucifer is used there, because it was a Latin name for Venus, and it looks like the Hebrew word Hillel, which means shining one, was probably a reference to Venus. Why did they choose the name Venus there? Well, Venus is the third brightest object in the sky, in the night sky, or the day sky. There's the sun, there's the moon, and then there's Venus. It's the brightest star that you see out there. It's the brightest planet. And also, interestingly enough, it kind of mimics the way that the sun goes every day. It moves from east to west, just like the sun does. So why would people then choose Venus? Or why would God tell Isaiah, hey, talk about Satan, and when you talk about Satan, use Venus as a representative of that? Well, I think Satan mimics God in a lot of ways. There's that. And he's got a level of glory. Does his glory match does the brightness of Venus match the brightness of the moon or the sun? No, not even close. But it's a lot brighter than every other star out there. And so I think that's like Satan. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul says that Satan often masquerades as an angel of light. And I think what the Bible is trying to teach us through the name Lucifer here is that Satan, as Lucifer, and even now, has a level of has an ability to masquerade as an angel of light, and has a level of glory, a level of majesty, a level of, awe or brightness to him. And he can use that to manipulate and to try to get into your head and convince you, influence you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. When I did marketing, online marketing for about a year, and I learned a really powerful marketing trick that salesmen use it all the time, and people use it, Hollywood uses it in movies, story writers use it. It's called, I don't remember the name of it, but but it was a trick that we would use to manipulate people, or maybe a good word for it would be to influence people to make certain decisions. And there's a number of different methods that people use, but this one was, you want to present yourself as having characteristics of authority and compassion. If you want to convince someone to do what you believe, what you want them to do, you have to show that you're the authority on that subject. And so we would have these clients. We had this one client, just kind of a dirtbag. I didn't like the guy at all. And he didn't, I had issues with him. Nobody should follow him. But he was one of our clients. And he said, hey, you got to help me to get more people to follow me. So, okay, so we got to help him appear as if he's the authority in this topic. And we have to help him appear to care about people, that he has compassion. And so we would write blog posts and write ads and have him do videos that made him look like he knew what he was talking about. And he actually did pretty much know what he was talking about, at least more than I know. But there's guys who are a lot smarter than him. But we had to make it look like he was the definitive authority on this topic. And then we had to make it look like he really cared, that he had compassion. And so if someone... And for us as people, story writers know this, movie writers know it, and salesmen and marketers know it. If you can convince someone that you have, that you're the authority on that topic and you care about them, that you have compassion, they'll be very easily influenced to do what you say. It doesn't matter if you have authority on it, if you know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter if you really care about them or not. As long as you convince them of that, people will do what you want. This is a trick that marketers use, blog writers use it, media uses it all the time. Doesn't make it right, but it's true. It's what happens. Satan uses it as well. He tries to appear as an angel of light. Lucifer, trying to show that he has authority, trying to show that he knows what he's talking about, and he tries to show that he cares, that he has compassion on us, he really wants to help us. And if we're not smart about it, we'll see that and we'll go, oh, well, they know what they're talking about and they really care, so I should just do what they say. No, we got to have discernment. We got to look at what the scriptures say, not just listen to someone because they seem to be an authority on it or seem to care about us. And again, thinking about what's going on nowadays with the COVID-19 panic, I don't even want to call it a pandemic, the COVID-19 panic, I think we see that where people are presenting themselves as authorities on things and we really care about you and so you should do this. And they really don't know what they're talking about, and they don't really care about you. They're trying to increase their ratings. Or they might be an authority, but here's five other guys that disagree with them, and so we gotta have discernment to weigh it all together and see what really makes sense also scripturally. So if we're smart about it, if we get it that Satan sometimes appears as Lucifer, as an angel of light trying to deceive in this way, then we can win. But if we're not smart, we don't get it, we just go through our life and believe, oh, they're an authority, I should just believe what they say. Or, well, he seems to care about me, I should do what he says. Well, then the enemy is going to get in and deceive us. So we got to be smart. This is ultimately, that's what it means. We got to be smart. We got to stick with the scriptures, look at what the scriptures say. We weigh everything according to the scriptures. And we don't just receive everything we're hearing or everything that someone says, even if they appear to be an authority on it or appear to care about us, because those are tactics that the enemy knows that will work to try to influence us in his ways. So just a few areas that I came up with where we need to be on guard about this is, and I just want to go through some of these here. Doctors. Doctors are awesome. Doctors are amazing. Doctors are wonderful people, and doctors are smart and they understand bodies. However, if a doctor tells you to do something that conflicts with the Word of God, you stick with the Word of God. Even though doctors might have wisdom, they might have authority, they might even really care about you, if they tell you something that conflicts with the Word of God, stick with the Word of God. Here's an example of that. I have a friend, a woman in Texas who had two sons. Let me talk about one in particular. Both of them were born with major health issues. One of them was born brain damaged to the point where the doctor said he's not going to live past the week. Well, my friend's a Christian woman, and so she saw, you know, she heard what the doctor said, and she said, "Well, thank you for your opinion, but the Word of God says that that my son will be healthy and blessed and will prosper, and so I'm believing that for my son." And so every day she would just declare life, 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 and pray for him every day. Well, he lived past the week, and then the doctor said, "Okay, yeah, well, he lived past the week, but he's not going to make it past 6 months for sure." Well, she said, "Thank you, but I disagree. The Word of God says God brings healing and life." And she just kept declaring life over her son. Well, her son lived past 6 months. Doctor said, "Well, he's not going to crawl." She kept believing God, and the son learned to crawl. The doctor said, "He won't learn to walk." He learned to walk. The doctor said, he won't learn to talk. He learned to talk, because she just believed the Word of God. The doctor said, "He's not going to go to school." Well, he went to school. The doctor said he's not going to graduate from high school. He graduated from high school. The doctor said, "Yeah, but he won't be able to go to college." He went to college. The doctor said, "He's not going to graduate college." He graduated college. The doctor said, "Okay, he could graduate college. He's not going to be able to get a job." He got a job. He's a reporter now in Texas. But it's awesome. Doctors are great. I love doctors. Doctors are awesome. We just had to go to the doctor. What day was that? Monday, because Paul broke his arm. And, you know, I prayed for him, and we laid hands on his arm and believed that it would be healed, and it didn't get instantly healed. So we said, "Okay, well, God can use the doctors to bring healing then." Doctors are awesome, but you don't just receive what they say because they're a doctor and they have some title and some degree on their wall, and you go, "Well, yeah, they must know what they're talking about." No, the Word of God knows what it's talking about. Stick with that. And so if a doctor says to do something that conflicts with God, what God has spoken to you and what the Word of God says, you've got to stick with the Word of God. Otherwise, it could be the enemy coming in as Lucifer, using what the doctor has said, twisting it, and trying to get you to go down a route of, what is that called? Not faith, but fear and doubt, and then you don't get the blessing that God has for you. So that's one of the areas where we got to be aware that Satan can even take the words of someone who's good, but use it in a way to manipulate us. Psychologists or psychiatrists, you know, most, or I would add even just counselors to that, most psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, they're not building their understanding on the Word of God, and so it's going to be flawed. Proverbs says that fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And so if someone doesn't have a fear of God, they don't have a relationship with God, whatever they say is going, it might go down a wrong path. And ultimately, when we talk about like psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, all that, they're not basing it on the Word of God. And so they might give interesting advice. They might give good advice that works in some ways, but they might give really terrible advice that causes you to be more bound up by the enemy than delivered from it. The Bible's answer to emotional, mental problems is that they're spiritual problems. And ultimately, the solutions are spiritual solutions. Usually either repent of the sin, forgive the person you're bitter at, get a demon cast out, or break curses that are over your family, break occult ties. If there's mental, emotional problems in your life, you go to the psychiatrist and they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand demons. They don't understand curses or unforgiveness or sin. So they'll come up with all sorts of different theories about where this comes from and how we can help you through it, or how we can medicate you so it'll help you out a little bit. And sometimes there's a place for that stuff. I don't want to just throw it all out. However, you need to be aware that if it's not built on the Bible, it's going to be flawed somewhere. And you have to have the discernment to go, "Okay, this was all right what they told me, but this stuff, that wasn't all right. This one's okay, and I'll receive that because it lines up with the scriptures." We need to just have this discernment where we don't just receive it because, "Oh, my doctor said that, my psychiatrist said that, a counselor told me that one time." No, go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? And so the Word of God says that ultimately, emotional, mental problems, they boil down to sin, unforgiveness, demons, curses, occult things, spiritual problems. And so for all of those, Jesus has freedom. He's overcome all those. He has victory for us. If you're in sin, repent. If you're bitter, forgive. If there's a demon, get it cast out. If there's a curse, break it. If you're doing occult stuff, stop doing occult stuff, and then the enemy can't come and torment you. So we don't want to just receive what somebody with a title says because they have a title and they seem to be influential. We need to keep our minds fixed on what the scriptures say. When we were in Romania, there was this guy, George Tallbeard. I've mentioned his name before. That's what we called him because he was tall and he had a beard. And George Crazy didn't sound as nice. So George had basically invited demons into his life to the point where he would not do anything unless these demons would allow him to do it. So he would lay in bed all day long, not eating, not drinking, not using the bathroom except for in his bed, because he said the demon or the voice didn't allow me to get up, so I had to lay in bed. And then another day he'd say, well, the voice told me I could get up, and so he'd get up. The voice told me I'd go to the bathroom, so I went to the bathroom. The voice told me I could turn on the light switch, so I turned on the light switch. His whole life was under the domination of these demons. Well, he went to some psychiatrist or psychologist or something, and they tried to medicate him. It didn't help. They tried to talk about things that didn't help. Eventually, we started going to a church and going to another church and other churches looking for solutions. Eventually, he came to our church and he said, what do I do with this? And he said, well, it sounds like demons, you know. Doesn't sound like medication will help you. And so me and my brother Ben met with him for a number of weeks. We prayed with him. He forgave all sorts of people that he was bitter at, broke curses over his life, renounced occult ties, and then we cast demons out of him, and he started changing to the point where he stopped meeting with us because he said, well, I feel free enough. And I'm like, you're not 100% free. We need to keep meeting. You're like 75%. You're good, but you need to be great. And he's like, no, I feel good. And so he stopped meeting, but he got to the point where he no longer heard these voices and he could just do things because he wanted to do them. He could get up in the morning when he wanted to get up. He could go to the bathroom. He could eat. He could turn on a light switch. Whatever he wanted to do, he could do. He was no longer bound by these demons that were forcing him in slavery, really. So, you know, we can't. So had he just said, okay, I guess the psychiatrist can't help me and psychologists want me on meds, and okay, I guess this is just my life for now. Okay, he could have taken that route, and maybe he's saved, maybe he loves God, maybe he'll end up in heaven, maybe not, I don't know, because he also allowed demons to really control him. So he could be a fine guy, but he's not free. Jesus promises freedom, and so he's promised freedom to us, and so we never want to receive a lie from the enemy, even if it comes from someone who seems to have a lot of authority or a lot of education or really, you know, I don't know, they seem to have a lot of wisdom or something. It has to go back to what the Word of God says. All right, in other words, various experts on a topic, parenting experts will say, well, you can never tell your kid no. Yeah, right. What does the Word of God say? Or you should never spank your kid. That's child abuse. Well, what does the Word of God say? You know, we don't want to look at what the parenting experts say and just receive all that. Yeah, I'll listen to them and I'll see all the different experts, but I'm going to weigh it according to the Word of God because the Word of God has the truth. And so if an expert says something that goes against the Word of God, stick with the Word of God. The LGBT movement. Trying to say that homosexuality and transgenderism is normal. It's not normal. It's sin. It's just like any other sin. The Word of God is clear there. Doesn't matter what Hollywood does, what new gay Star Wars characters might be out or anything. The Word of God is clear. Homosexuality is sin, just like lying or gossip or adultery or any other sin. So doesn't matter what the experts say about that. Climate change experts. Same thing. You know, you've got this teenage girl, Greta Thunberg, teenage girl with probably demons and a hyperactive imagination, maybe, and she's trying to consult the world about how to make decisions for our climate. No, let's stick with what the Word of God says, that we don't live in fear and that God's not going to just let us destroy the planet. He'll come one day and recreate everything. Or Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, he got up when there was the Brazilian fires. He was getting up and saying, "We got to stop the fires." And he's paid big bucks to run around pretending to be someone who he's not and playing dress up. So we're going to listen to his advice? No, that's ridiculous. Or Mark Zuckerberg, he's trying to be this political voice. It has been for a long time. He's a computer nerd who should go back to smoking his meats and just be done with it. It's a fun video, yeah. Scientists, okay, I love science. In the beginning of science is awesome. We had a lot of Christian scientists that were saying, look, God is an orderly God, so we want to understand the world. And it was their Christianity that prompted them to understand the world. And there's still a lot of Christian scientists today. But there's a lot of atheistic scientists that are very smart men, but then they don't believe in God, so their wisdom is really nothing in the end. And so even like things like creation or evolution, that some of these really smart guys that the world respects, when it comes down to it, people ask, okay, so how did all of life begin? They come up with goofy theories of like, was it Richard Dawkins, big leading atheist scholar, was saying that life began on the backs of crystals. So some magic crystals created life. Or another scientist was saying that, that aliens, they don't believe in God creating everything, but he said, well, I believe aliens, some higher life form, came from a different galaxy and spawned life here. Wait, so like a sci-fi movie or something? Another one was saying that there's multiverses, like Spider-Man, you know, where we have this universe, but then there's another alternate dimension. There's millions of alternate dimensions, and that's how life happened. Yeah, okay, if you have to resort to sci-fi Hollywood goofiness, sorry. You might be smart, but you're not building it on the Word of God. You're not that smart. So we don't want to just receive things just because someone says it. That could be the voice of Lucifer trying to come in as an angel of light. Media, another one. And you can see it nowadays, whether it's social media, blogs, YouTube, or mainstream media, or even non-mainstream media, we need to be aware that just because they're in a position where I'm a reporter or I've been a newscaster for 20 years. Well, okay, yeah, let's take what you're saying and line it up with the Word of God. See if you are right or the Word of God is right. And we stick with the Word of God. Friends can, Satan can use what our friends say and manipulate them to manipulate us. And he can use the words of our friends to cause us to go down a route that he wants us to go. Before I became a pastor, I had a number of my friends tell me, Jake, you would make a terrible pastor. Maybe they were right. I don't know. But a number of my friends said, you won't make it as a pastor. You'd be a terrible pastor. I don't want you as my pastor. Why would anybody want you as their pastor? Like, really? It really hurt Brian. It really hurt me, Brian. No, it wasn't Brian. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know. I didn't listen to them, obviously. That was the voice of Lucifer, trying to use someone I trusted and someone that cared about me and that had a certain level of authority to get me to do what he wanted instead of what God wanted. Thankfully, I prayed about it. And, well, maybe you guys are like, no, not thankfully. But I read this terrible story it's like about a month ago. This young woman, a high school girl, really like just a cute high school girl. She started to go through this, just wondering about her sexuality and everything, and she's seeing all the media and hype about transgender stuff, and she started wondering, man, am I transgender? Maybe I'm supposed to be a man. Maybe I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. And so she went and talked to all her friends, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, you'd make a really cute guy. Yeah, you should do it. You're really supposed to be a man. And 100% of her friends approved of her, influenced her to just go for it. Go to her doctor and go through a sex change. And so she started taking the hormones and got new clothes, changed her name, changed her hairstyle, all that. And then I don't remember how long she was doing that, but as she's doing it, she wrote this blog post about it just saying none of that helped. She still felt out of place, still was frustrated with life. She's not Christian at all. But she said, none of that helped me, but instead I just became an overweight, diabetic, ugly girl that looked like a guy. And she hated her life more than ever before. And thankfully, her grandfather came to her one day and just said, you need to stop this. This is wrong. You were an attractive young woman. Now you're an ugly fat man. You need to become you need to go back to being who you were. And she just like burst down crying and said, you're right, Grandpa. I'm going back. And so she's making the shift back, but doctors are telling her, and who knows if they're right or not, but they're saying the damage done to her system is it's not going to reverse completely. And so she's already done the damage, but it started with the voice of her friends, Lucifer, getting into her friends, using what they said to influence her in a bad way. And so we need to be aware of this, you know. And thankfully, I think all my friends are you guys for the most part. It's sad but true. I like my family too, but they're here. So, I mean, we want to have good friends around us, but even be aware of good friends. So most of my friends that told me, actually all the friends that told me to not be a pastor were Christians. So, you know, even good friends can lead you a wrong way. We want to always filter things through. What does the Word of God say? What has God spoken to me? What does my pastor say? What do people that I really respect in the church say? But principally the Word of God. You got to stick with that. Another place, you know, speaking of pastors can lead you wrong. And so, you know, whether clearly not in our church, I mean, me and Brian, I mean, yeah, maybe in one of the multiverse versions of Cornerstone, maybe, but not this one. No. But we could say something wrong, or we could say something and we mean it one way, but you hear it a different way. Or we could just be having a bad day and I get annoyed at you, or Brian says something dumb to you and we just get mad we say something stupid because we're people and we make mistakes. Don't let the enemy, don't receive that if it's not from God. If we say, even a pastor or another pastor says something and it conflicts with the scriptures, or it conflicts with what God spoke to you and has confirmed in the scriptures, stick with what he spoke to you and is confirmed in the scriptures. And then if it's me or Brian, talk to us, because if we said something stupid, we'd like to be able to apologize. And especially if it's a biblical thing and you think we're wrong, yeah, for sure talk to us and we'll argue why we're right. Or maybe admit we're wrong. There's a chance. Maybe Brian would, but I won't. So we need to be aware that Satan's smart. He's not going to come in as some fire-breathing dragon and looking like some creepy demon. And we go, I don't think he has anything good for me. He's going to come in as an angel of light. Try to deceive us, get us to think that he knows what he's talking about and he cares about us. And so if we listen to him, it'll actually really be good for us. And we need to be smart, have discernment to be able to say, okay, this is what I heard. How does that line up with what I know from the scriptures on the character of God and what the Word of God says, and not receive everything that we hear. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go to, do I got time? What time is it? Where's my phone? Oh man, I don't know if I have time. Okay, we'll just leave it. Actually, let me close with some verses then. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. So Lucifer is, Satan is strong, he's deceptive, and when Lucifer comes in like an angel of light trying to deceive us, it can seem like overwhelming, like, well, how can I figure out what's true and what's not true? You can win. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the Word of God, and God has not allowed, will not allow you to be tempted or deceived beyond what you can bear. And so you can win in this battle. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. I don't believe John meant this to be exclusive, that only the young men get to overcome. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, old guys. No, I think this is all-encompassing, that all of these are for all of us. We can know the Father. We can know him who is from the beginning, and we can all overcome. We can all win because God abides in us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let me pray. Lord, thank you that we can overcome, that you have given us victory, that we don't have to just be swept by every lie that's out there, every deception, every manipulation that's out there, but that we can hear it, look at it, and filter it through the Word of God and what you've spoken to us and what we know of your character. Jesus, I pray that you would give all of us a real grace to filter out the lies and recognize Lucifer, recognize Satan as Lucifer when he shows up, whether it's through someone we trust, or someone personal close to us, or someone on media, or a politician, or a doctor, or psychologist, or a respected scientist, or anything, God, that we wouldn't just receive it because they said it and it must be true, but Lord, that you would give us the grace to recognize that, look, this is not the voice of God here, that this is coming from the enemy, and that we will continue as a church and as a body to walk in your victory and be a bastion of truth, a pillar of truth, even when society around us has gone crazy in panic and hysteria, that we would walk in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.